It's wonderful to be back up in New York. We got here Friday evening, and we brought some Louisiana weather with us. The opposite of that. This morning, I'm going to be in John 4, if you want to turn there. And this is something that's been on my heart for a while, and some of you may have heard this before, but this is what I felt the Lord leading me to share this morning, and that is progressing in our Christianity. So not progressive Christianity, right? But progressing in our Christianity. Because as followers of Christ, as people who love Jesus, there should be something in our hearts that makes us want to know Him more each day. That makes us want to pursue Him. Makes us want to hear His voice more clearly. Because God is not a passive God. Amen? He's a God of action. And consequently, we should not be passive followers of Him. We should be a people of action, constantly wanting to grow to know Him more. And I was reading in John a while back, and I was looking at the very beginning and walk of Jesus' ministry, how it started, how it grew, how it progressed. And it struck me. I was like, man, this looks a lot like what our relationship with the Lord should be like. How it should grow and progress. And that's something I love about the Bible, is there's nothing in there that's just filler. Everything references something else, right? There was no word requirement on the document. Everything mirrors something else. It references another area. And so Jesus does His first miracle at a wedding. He turns water into wine. Dad always says that's because every marriage needs a miracle, right? And the next thing He does is He meets the woman at the well. So that's where we're going to read first. Let's go to John 4, John 4, 7. It says, "When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, 'Will you give me a drink?' His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. And the Samaritan woman said to Him, 'You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans.' Jesus answered her, 'If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked Him and He would have given you living water.'" So this is the very beginning of Jesus' ministry to individuals. This is the very start of His ministry one-on-one to people. He goes out of His way for the woman at the well. And I love that this is how His ministry starts. Because the first thing that happens in our walk with Christ and our relationship with Him is He goes out of His way for us. So He seeks us out. He pursues us, right? He chases us down. True Christianity always starts with us receiving something from God. That's how it works, right? We receive salvation. It's this free gift that we can't earn, we don't deserve, and God offers it to us freely. It's this incredible thing that takes place. Bartimaeus meets Jesus for the first time. And what does he say? Jesus says, "What can I do for you?" Bartimaeus says, "I want to receive my sight." So we receive something from God. That's where it always starts. He seeks us out. Jesus is headed to Galilee here in this story. And the fastest way to get to Galilee is straight through Samaria. It's almost as the crow flies. You can go straight down. But the Jews never went that way because they despised the Samaritans. So they would actually go this long route around Samaria to get to Galilee just to avoid having contact with them. It's pretty intense, right? But Jesus says, "I got to go through Samaria." He wanted to meet this woman. And the amazing thing about Jesus is He always goes where no one else wants to go to meet someone no one else wants to meet. That's the kind of Savior we serve. This woman has been married 5 times, and she's living with a man unmarried. Right? She's not just an outcast because she's a Samaritan. She's an outcast from the Samaritans. This is not an individual anybody in that culture would want to seek out and spend time with. She's drawing water at the hottest part of the day, high noon. Now, why is she doing that? Because that's when she could go get her water and go home. No one else would be there. She could avoid all the scorn, all the ridicule, all the accusations. Just don't talk to me. But Jesus says, I got to meet this woman. I want to talk with her. And the amazing thing about Christ is it doesn't matter where you are in your walk with Him, what season of life you're in. It doesn't matter if you've been saved 5 minutes or 50 years. Christ wants to go out of His way for us. He wants to meet with us. Christ seeks us out right where we are. We always receive something from God first. But then there has to be a response. That's the next thing, right? What's the response going to be to this free gift that's offered to us, right? Bartimaeus says, I want to receive my sight. And Jesus heals him. It's this miracle. It's incredible. But then it says Bartimaeus followed Jesus on the road. That was the response, right? Because the thing is, Christ always seeks us out individually. It's always personal. It's always very specific. It's never generic and it's never blanket. So that means our response to Him has to be personal. It's got to be me and Jesus, right? It can't be my culture's Christianity, my pastor's Christianity, my family's Christianity. No. It's got to be me talking to Him. One-on-one, right? This woman goes back and tells the whole town about Jesus, right? You got to come meet this guy. He told me everything I ever have done. He is the Savior. And it says that they believed. But then they met Jesus. Then it says they came out and they met Jesus. And they said something that's so pivotal. They said, we now believe not because of what she said, but because we have met you for ourselves and we know you are the Christ. That's what changes our lives, saints. That's what absolutely revolutionizes every part of us. Jesus said to the disciples, who do you say that I am? Or who do the people say that I am? Right? And their response is so telling because they say, well, some say. Right? Some say you're this prophet. Some say you're this other guy. Some say you're this. Some say you're that. And what do we hear in our world today? Ask the average person on the street, ask an average college student, who's God? What are they going to say? Well, I heard this thing once that said this. I heard this podcast the other day and they said this thing was really cool. My professor said this. Some say. But Jesus gets down to the real issue. Who do you say that I am? And Peter actually gets it right. He says, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. That is what we have to focus on. That's what our response to Him has to be. See, He's offering this incredible future, this incredible gift to us. And our response has to be, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I want relationship with you, right? Because we always receive something from Christ and He goes out of His way for us. The next thing that happens in John 5 is Jesus starts healing people. So He heals an official's son. He heals the man at the pool of Bethesda. So he goes out of His way for us. He seeks us out, and that's awesome. But the next thing He wants to accomplish is He wants to heal our brokenness. That's the next step in the progression of our walk with Him, is Christ wants to come into our lives, into our hearts, and He actually wants to make us whole. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? That Christ cares enough about us. He could just redeem us and leave us. But no, Christ seeks us out where we are, but He never leaves us where we are. When we follow Him, He wants to come into our hearts and He wants to heal the relationship damage, right? The childhood stuff, the trauma, the missing pieces, right? Any of us have missing pieces? Because see, there's more than one way to be hurt in life. You can be hurt by someone doing something bad to you, or you can be hurt by someone who should be something, should give you something, and they don't. Right? There's sins of omission, where we're going, I don't know, all these other people seem to have gotten that bit. I missed that. That's pain. And Christ wants to make us whole. And he walks up to the man at the pool of Bethesda. This has always fascinated me. He walks up to him and he says, "Do you want to be made well?" No, duh, Sherlock, right? I mean, that's kind of, come on, that's kind of a stupid question, right? This guy has been lame for 38 years. He's laying by the pool of Bethesda. He's heard he can be healed. If you're the first one in the pool, when the angel troubles the water, you get a healing. Of course he wants to be made well, right? Why? What kind of question is that? It's such a good question. Jesus is the master at saying more with one sentence than we can with a whole book, right? And he doesn't ask stupid questions. Do you want to be made well? And the question is, can we admit where we're broken? Can we actually admit where we're weak? Where we have brokenness, where we have lack? Right? Because this guy could have very easily gone, "I don't know what you're talking about." Right? Total denial. Remember, Jesus isn't known as being the Savior here. He's not widespread that this guy can heal you. No, this is the very beginning of his ministry. So this is some dude off the street who walks up to a crippled man and says, "Do you want to be made well?" That could have gotten a bunch of different reactions, right? This guy could have totally just ignored it. He could have gotten really angry. "How dare you point out my weakness?" That's a justifiable response, right? Who do you think you are? How dare you? Obviously, I'm crippled. Obviously, I'm hurt. Obviously, I'm broken. Why bring it up in front of everybody? I'm really triggered that you would do that, actually. Right? Why? Why do this? But you see, healing always requires humbling. Healing always requires us going to God and going, "I'm broken," or "I'm missing a piece," or "something's not right right here, and I can't fix it. I've read the books, I've been to the seminars," right? I need something more than me to be able to gain wholeness here. That's what it takes, right? But this guy, I love his response. Love his response because he says, "I just don't have anybody to put me in the pool." That's great. I love that heart. Can we admit where we're broken? But you know, the question goes even deeper than that. Because wholeness requires responsibility. Being whole, being made well, means that I have to walk on my own two feet. No one's going to cut you any slack if you're whole, right? If you're doing well, nobody's going to cut you any slack. And if you think about it, it's interesting. This guy would have had food given to him, money brought to him, clothing given to him. He would have had all the pity and concern he could have wanted because of his brokenness. And what Jesus is actually saying here is, do you want the responsibility of being made well? Do you actually want the responsibility of having to walk on your own two feet? He's looking for a victim mentality. Because all of us can reach a place where we actually don't know how to function without being in a place of lack. We actually let our brokenness define us more than Christ, right? "Oh, well, that's just how I was raised. That's just who I am," right? And we're letting our brokenness actually be a defining feature of who we are rather than Christ. Rather than the wholeness and nature of Christ, we actually hold on to our brokenness. Go, "No, this is a part of me." But Christ is saying, do you really want to let it go? Really? You want the responsibility of having to be whole? Because when you're whole, that means you can offer wholeness to someone else. You're no longer just the recipient of help. You're able to offer help to someone else. That's a responsibility, right? And I love this dude. He says, "Man, if I had somebody to put me in the pool, I could walk again, dude." 38 years he's been crippled. There's no anger, there's no bitterness. He's going, if I could get in time, right? I keep getting beaten in by sprinting deaf people and pole vaulting blind ones. Every time they beat me in, right? And Jesus says, "Pick up your mat and walk. Christ never leaves us where we are. He never leaves us in our brokenness. If we follow him, he wants to make us whole. But you'll notice it's very telling what he says. Pick up your mat and walk. What Jesus didn't say was, well, you're healed. Take your time. Ease into it whenever you feel like it. Maybe put some Biofreeze on that tonight, right? You know, some Pilates would really help. No, he says, pick up your mat and walk. And there comes a time in our relationship with Christ, there comes a time in our lives where we have to pick up our mat and walk into the wholeness that Christ offers. There comes a place where we have to make the decision, I'm not playing with my brokenness anymore. I'm not toying with my dysfunction. I'm not spending time with these people. I'm not spending time in this situation because I want the wholeness that Jesus has for me. I'm moving forward into that, right? Because no one can carry your mat for you. I hate to tell you that. Nobody's going to carry your mat. Sometimes it is us going, I want wholeness and I'm leaving that behind. Amen? And you'd think everyone would be ecstatic. This guy has just been radically healed. But no, immediately some folks called the Pharisees show up. They show up a few times in the Bible. And instantly they go, well, wait, you can't carry that on the Sabbath. Wait, who healed you? Is that allowed? I don't like this. And I hate to tell you this, but when you walk with Christ and he starts to fill you up, he starts to make you whole, he starts to heal your brokenness, not everybody's going to be happy about it. Even in the church, right? You're going to have some people that go, whoa, wait a minute. I'm comfortable with my brokenness. I'm good with where I've got my life and my relationship with... This is convicting. You shouldn't be doing that. That can't be good. You're going to have some people that go, wait, you can't get whole that way because I didn't get whole that way. It only counts if you do it the way I did it, right? But our call is to follow Jesus on the road. Doesn't matter what people think. Doesn't matter what people say. It's about me and Jesus. I want the wholeness that Christ has for me. Amen? So the next thing that happens in John 6 is Jesus feeds the 5,000. So he goes out of his way for us. He heals our brokenness. And the next thing he wants to do is he wants to equip us. So he wants to fill us up. He wants to give us something that we can give to others. Right? He wants to take our little and multiply it. I love the kid in this story. The kid in this story had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He could have looked at the situation and gone, I have nothing to contribute here. I can't even feed all the disciples. I'm going home. I'm not useful here. But he brought what he had to Jesus. And the thing is, I don't care how little you think you have to contribute to the body of Christ. If you bring what you have to Jesus, he will multiply it and feed others through you. Because it's not about my perceived abilities, what I think I can and cannot do. God used donkeys in the Bible, right? We got a leg up already. We're already a heads up, right? But if we want to be useful and we want to be equipped, we have to be feeding on the Word of God. We have to be spending time in prayer, spending time in worship, spending time getting to know our Savior so that we have something to offer to someone else, because ministry comes out of the overflow. Ministry doesn't come out of lack. It comes from the overflow of what me and Jesus have been doing together. And the equipping is so important, because the very next thing that happens in John 7 is Jesus walks on the water. The goal of preparation is always the miraculous. The goal of us walking with Christ, learning all of these stages and things that we walk through, is so that we get to see Jesus do something impossible in us and through us. That is always the goal. Christ doesn't lead us, guide us, equip us, teach us, do all these things in our lives so that we can live nice, happy lives. No, there's always something more. There's always something eternal. There's always a deeper goal involved. There's always something bigger than ourselves. And that can look like a lot of different things, right? Peter gets to walk on water. He sinks, but he gets to walk on water, right? It is this incredible, miraculous thing. That's an awesome expression. Other times, it's us living in a way that is totally impossible, right? My dad grew up in an extremely abusive home. He had a terrible relationship with his parents. He has three siblings, none of whom have been able to make relationships work, marriages work. They're all dealing with substance abuse. That's what an Eastman is capable of without Christ. We have three examples of it, right? But Dad let Christ heal his brokenness. He equipped himself. And consequently, he's been married 40 years, and he has a great relationship with me, right? That's an impossibility for an Eastman. We have three perfect examples of how it doesn't work. But with Christ, nothing's impossible. And the thing is, today, what the world needs to see is a church that's whole. Because wholeness is becoming a rarer and rarer thing, right? What the world needs to see is a church that's equipped. A church that's going, I'm not sure, but I'll walk on some water if I need to. Because they need to see a church that's empowered, right? And the thing is, what I don't want to happen to any of us is that we get stuck in a classroom. Right? We've all watched people get stuck in a classroom. You see people. Christ goes out of his way for them. It's a wonderful, beautiful moment, right? But then they never let Christ make them whole. Never let Jesus heal their brokenness. Dad always says people are very quick to give God the basement and the first floor, because those are pretty nasty usually. But the second and third floors, don't go up there, God, that's for me. And consequently, what happens is you see them 10 years later, and they're still telling you about how Jesus went out of his way for them. It's an awesome truth. It is a beautiful thing, right? But the progression has stopped. The growth has stopped. Some people let Christ heal their brokenness. It's another wonderful thing. But they never equip themselves. They never let Christ fill them up. And so consequently, they end up thinking Christianity is dull and boring because they never get to taste of the miraculous. And a big key in all of this is expectancy, right? Expectancy is a very specific type of faith. It's one thing to believe something. It's another thing to expect it, right? Two very different things. If a water balloon fight broke out in here tonight, or this morning, right? Do I believe I could get out of here dry? Yeah, I'm pretty fast. I could probably pull it off, right? I believe that. I might be wrong, but I believe it. Do I expect it to happen, though? No. Right? So I didn't dress for the occasion. I'm not in a posture and a position of readiness for a water balloon fight to break out. And I think it's time for us, church, to start expecting some of the things we believe in. I think it's time for us to take some of the things we believe in off the shelf of mere belief and put them in the expectancy area. That God wants to use me. I can be useful to God. I can actually impact people's lives. I can have an impact on the total atmosphere around me. Because the thing is, I want the wholeness that Christ has, but I want others to experience the wholeness that Christ has. It's never just about us. It's never just about me. It's always about who I'm going to talk to, who I'm going to share my faith with, who I'm just going to simply live a Christian life in front of, and it totally changes their world. And so my challenge this morning to all of us, right? I don't know what season of this you're in. Some days I deal with all of this in one morning. There are some mornings where I'm going, okay, clearly there's still some brokenness here, and Lord, would you go out of your way for me, please? But whatever stage we're in, let's keep taking ground to the next one. Let's keep progressing in Christ. I don't ever want to get satisfied with where I am in my walk with Him. I don't ever want to get comfortable with where I am with Jesus. I want more. Amen? So let's bow our heads this morning. Father God, we come to you today and we ask that you would refocus us on you. You have an incredible future, an incredible purpose for every person in this room. Father God, we ask humbly today that you would go out of your way for us, that you would heal us and make us whole, equip us and enable us to see you do the miraculous things that we can't in us and through us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for listening. I appreciate it. Thank you.